Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we are going to study his Torah, the instructions he has given us that leads us in all righteousness. And this week we are reading through Leviticus chapter 21 through chapter 24. And I have selected a portion of scripture that's in Leviticus chapter 24 for us to talk about in this week's teaching. And I have entitled this message, Hallow My Name. So we're going to get into a teaching here and study what it means to hallow his name, and exactly what it would mean to do the exact opposite of that, and that would be to blaspheme his name. So the portion of scripture that I have selected to read for this teaching is Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 10. He says, "Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of Yahweh and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody, that the mind of Yahweh might be shown to them. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger, as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he shall be put to death." So here we read in this portion of scripture about how a young man commits the sin of blasphemy against the name of Yahweh. Now, this portion of scripture doesn't really go into great detail on how he committed this blasphemy. We don't know exactly what he spoke, what he said, that would make what he did blasphemy. But we do see here is it talks about the fact that he not only blasphemed the name of Yahweh, but he also cursed. So you could say he also cursed Yahweh. We see here in the passage that there appears to be two different penalties. One penalty for the person who curses his God, and the other one who blasphemes the name of Yahweh. So it seems to be that there's two different things here at play between committing blasphemy or cursing our God. So the question is, what does it mean to curse him? And what does it mean to blaspheme his name? Now, if we look at the word here for curse, when you dive into that word, you can say it means to make something worthless or to lightly esteem something. So to curse God would be to speak something or to say something that would make him lightly esteemed, not to esteem him in your speech, not to give worth unto him or unto his name. Or you could say curse God. It doesn't actually mention his name in cursing him. So it could be the fact that you say something that makes him, and may not actually have to do with his name, to make him or to decrease his value before the eyes of others who hear what you have said. This man who cursed God and blasphemed Yahweh's name, he did it in front of people. They heard him. So perhaps he said something that would have decreased the value that people would put upon God and upon his name, to cause people not to esteem him, but to do the other, the exact opposite, to curse. So the opposite of curse, we would say, is what? To bless. You know, we read many times in Scripture. And one of the places I really think of it is in the book of Psalms, where it says, bless his name, right? Bless the name of Yahweh, which would be to uplift his name, to exalt his name. So it's the exact opposite of this idea of cursing God. Okay, so what does it mean to blaspheme his name? Now, Jewish tradition would say that you blaspheme his name by simply saying his name. So in this passage, they would say that he committed blasphemy by just saying the name of Yahweh. And so by doing that, he committed blasphemy. Some people hold to the opinion that if you say his name incorrectly, if you pronounce his name incorrectly, then you blaspheme his name. Another way people define blasphemy is they say it's to speak with contempt about God, or to be defiantly irreverent in your speech toward him. They would say blasphemy is a verbal or written reproach or a disapproval of God's name, character, work, or attributes. So what I want to kind of do is look at Scripture, look at some examples, at least for sure one example, of how Israel actually did commit the sin of blasphemy, and what we can learn from what Scripture talks about when they committed that blasphemy against Yahweh. And maybe it'll give us some insight on what it truly means to blaspheme his name. Let's look at the Hebrew word here for blasphemy. You know, that word would define itself, would be defined as to perforate, to pierce, or to scrutinize. When I kind of think about those words there, to perforate or to pierce, I think those are things that you do that causes damage to something. So if we look at just the Hebrew word, one of the things that comes to my mind, the picture that is painted in my mind, is a word that talks about something that causes damage to something. So could blasphemy simply be us speaking something, or us maybe even doing something, that causes damage to his name? So I want to look at Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 32. He says, "You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." So if we look at this verse here in Leviticus 22, he starts off by saying, "You shall not profane my holy name." So here is Yahweh himself saying, my name is holy, or my name is set apart. Since my name is set apart, you shall not profane my name. Well, profane is actually to do the very opposite of what it means to be holy. It is to take that which is set apart apart and make it common. It's to treat his name as common instead of holy or set apart. So he follows this statement by saying, I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. Well, what does it mean to be hallowed? Well, that in itself means to be set apart. It's a past tense word of the idea of being made set apart. Okay. Or it also can mean to be esteemed. So he's saying, I will be esteemed. I will be made set apart among Israel. So how is he going to do this? He says, I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. So in order for him to be hallowed among the children of Israel, he had to sanctify Israel. That means by them walking in set apartness, by them walking in holiness, by them being holy, then Yahweh is esteemed among the children of Israel. Or you could say, when people see them walking in this set apartness, then the nations of the world will see that their God, Yahweh, is set apart. He is worthy to be esteemed, to be worshiped, to be praised. Hallelujah. Yeshua, in teaching his disciples how to pray, brings up this concept of hallowing his name. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when we think about how he is starting this prayer off, there's a couple of things that we can learn and gather in this opening sentence here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So you could say he starts off the prayer by giving esteem to our Father in heaven. Giving esteem to him, but also to his name. Because his name represents who he is. It represents his character, his attributes. So when we set apart his name, we're setting apart his character, his attributes. Okay, but you could also say that maybe in this idea of saying hallowed be your name, there's also a prayerful attitude. This concept of asking and praying that his name would be hallowed. You know, that's something that we ought to strive for within our lives, is to see his name hallowed in our lives. It should be a prayer of ours that our lives would hallow his name before the eyes of the nations of the world. We should pray that his name would be exalted and esteemed across the nations of this world. You know, if we go back and we think about this man that we read about in our opening passage. You know, he is in this struggle with this other man. He is in this conflict, this fight with him. You know, I could imagine that, you know, his anger, his burning, his emotions are probably getting the best of him at this moment in time, because he is actually fighting with this person. You could say in a way, he is showing signs that he has lost self-control. And during this time period where his anger is burning, it looks as if he has given in to the desires of his flesh, to the emotions that he is experiencing. And in this, he speaks forth words that he shouldn't speak. He curses his God. He speaks lowly of his God. He blasphemes the name of Yahweh. So he speaks poorly of his name and of his character and of his attributes in such a way that possibly caused damage to those around him and hearing what he is saying. But the point I'm trying to make here is his emotions causes him to speak untruthful words about his God. You know, this man, I believe, probably saw the deliverance of Yahweh. He saw how Yahweh delivered Israel out of Egypt. You know, the scripture even talks about how he is the son of an Egyptian father. So his father is one of those who was from Egypt. But he left Egypt because he believed in the God of Israel. So he joined himself with Israel on the night of the Passover, and he left with Israel. So he had to have known of the good works of Yahweh, of the deliverance that he had brought. I mean, his father knew firsthand for sure. So he forgets the goodness of Yahweh in this moment of anger, and he speaks negatively. Well, let's contrast that with David. You know, I talked about how many times when we read through the book of Psalms, we read these verses, bless Yahweh, right? Bless his name. He's constantly saying it. And there's even times where we can read where David is cast down. His soul is down. He is sad. He is in great despair. Times where he is running for his life. And at those moments in time, he chooses not to speak a curse or a blasphemy or negatively about his God. Instead, what does he do? He speaks to his soul. And he tells his soul, bless Yahweh, oh my soul. So that's the person we need to learn from. You know, when our souls are cast down and things aren't quite going the way we would like them to go, instead of allowing our emotions to get the best of us and causing us to speak words that are not true about the character and the nature of our God, we need to be like David and speak to our souls and tell our souls to bless his name. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at a passage of scripture here that's going to bring a little bit of insight about how the Jews had actually blasphemed Yahweh's name. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent. Being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. So what we're seeing here is Paul is addressing the Jews on this notion that they are here teaching the law. They're teaching the Torah. He says, you are teachers, right? He says, you have the form of knowledge. You have the truth. You know, his law, his Torah, is truth. It brings knowledge. It brings wisdom. When we study it, when we read it, when we apply it to our lives, we are walking in knowledge, we are walking in wisdom, and we are walking in his truth. And he's saying here, you know, you as a Jew, you have this knowledge. You have this truth. And you're teaching this truth. Okay? He says, but you're not doing it. You're telling people not to steal, but you yourselves are stealing. So they're not doing what they're preaching. They are actually breaking the Torah. They're walking in disobedience to the Torah. We learn that as we read further along in this chapter. He tells them, you know, you boast in your circumcision of the flesh, right? You think that because you're circumcised in the flesh that you're saved. But it was the exact opposite. He says, you're circumcised in the flesh, but you're walking in disobedience to the Torah. You're breaking the Torah. So your disobedience actually makes your circumcision as uncircumcision. So we see in this chapter that the sin of the Jews weren't that they were actually walking in obedience to the Torah and boasting in their obedience to the Torah, because it's the exact opposite. They were walking in disobedience. They were boasting in the fact that they were circumcised in the flesh. But what Paul goes on to say here is because of your disobedience or because of your hypocrisy, you're teaching this one thing, but you're not doing it. He says, you are dishonoring God. What? Through the breaking of the law, through the breaking of the Torah. He says, and because of your disobedience, okay, so the nations are seeing your disobedience. They're seeing your hypocrisy. They see that you teach this one thing, but you're doing another thing. He says, and because the nations see you do that, God, the name of God, is blasphemed among the nations. So here we see that the name of God is blasphemed through the actions and the disobedience of the children of Israel through the Jews. See, we bear his name to the nations. The Jews, the nation of Israel, were chosen to bear his name to the nations. They were the representation of Yahweh to the nations. And we are today. We are grafted into Israel. Every person who believes in Yeshua and professes him as their master, as their redeemer, and as their savior, who boasts and says that they are a follower of Yeshua, they now bear his name and the name of Yahweh to the nations. So they represent Yahweh to the nations. You represent him to the nations. So what you do, what you say, either esteems his name, okay, his character, his attributes to the nations, or it lowers the worth that they put, or the value that they put in his name and his character and in his attributes. So we need to be careful of what we do, of what we say, because we are his representation. When we read of how Israel came out of Egypt, we read of how there were people, there were nations in the world who feared Israel because they had heard the stories of what Yahweh had done for the children of Israel. Right? So think about it. Since they had heard these stories, they heard of the goodness, the power in which Yahweh delivered Israel out of Egypt. Yahweh was actually esteemed, and his name was esteemed before the eyes of the nations of the world. But through Israel's disobedience, they would then begin and they would do things that would cause the nations to not esteem his name no longer. So because of this, he is jealous for his name, because we bear his name to the nations. So there are things that he does to protect his name, so that his name would be esteemed or hallowed amongst the nations. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 7. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. So here's Yahweh speaking. After a time in which Yahweh, through their disobedience, through the breaking of the Torah, had blasphemed his name among the nations, they had profaned his holy name. He says, I will not let that happen anymore. Right? He says, I'm going to make my holy name known. Now, what he is actually going to speak about in this chapter is the restoration of Israel. So he had to bring discipline to Israel first off because of their disobedience. He couldn't allow them to continue walking in their disobedience and to continue to blaspheme his name amongst the nations. So he had to bring correction for the sake of his name, but that correction couldn't last forever. He also had to bring restoration in order for his name to be made holy. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. After they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land, and no one made them afraid. When I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am Yahweh their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord Yahweh. So he restores Israel. He brings them back. And he speaks of how he is going to be hallowed in them. And what does he do? He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the house of Israel. In another verse in Ezekiel, he talks about how he's going to take this hard heart, this rebellious heart out. It's that heart that is disobedient and wants to do its own thing, right? He says, I'm going to take that heart out. I'm going to give you a tender heart, a heart that is soft and sensitive to the conviction of my spirit. He says, I'm going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to write my laws upon your heart and upon your mind. See, he forgives us. He brings restoration to us through the blood of his son, Yeshua. We are restored into a rightful place with him. And then he pours out his spirit upon us so that we can walk in that holiness, so that we can walk in that set apartness, so that we can show the character or the holiness of the living God that we serve. It's only by his spirit that we can do this. Without his spirit, we can never walk in holiness. Without his spirit, we could never hallow his name. But it's by his spirit living in us, by the power of his spirit, empowering us and leading us and guiding us in all righteousness and all truth, so that we can walk in the holiness of his scripture, of his Torah, of the instructions that he has given us, so that we can show his character and his attributes to the nations of the world. Paul would say that the Torah is holy, right? So when we walk in the Torah, when we walk in Torah, we are walking in holiness. We're walking in his character and attributes, showing it to the world. The Torah was given to Israel to set them apart, to give them the instructions on how to be set apart, so that when the nation saw them, they could see that they were different from them. And that would cause them to want to bring esteem to Yahweh, that they would see that the living God that they serve is holy. He's different than the little g God that they are serving. And it's the same with us today. When we walk in his Torah, we are showing the nations around us that our God is holy. Hallelujah. And he gives us his spirit to empower us and to lead us and to guide us in doing that. I want to read Psalms chapter 23 and verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So here we see the psalmist speaking first of what? Restoration. He restores our soul, and then he leads us in the path of righteousness. Why does he lead us in his righteousness? For his name's sake. So that his name would be hallowed amongst the nations of the world. When we walk in his righteousness, it's not to show how awesome of a person we are. It's not to boast of ourselves. But it's to show the power and the restoration of our living God. When people see us walking as a new creation, when they see us walking as a new man or a new woman, when they see the work of God in our lives, it makes His name great. When people see our good works, they should praise our Heavenly Father, not us. We don't walk in obedience so that we can be praised. We walk in obedience so that people will praise our Heavenly Father, that they will give Him glory. Hallelujah. So it's through our lives. It's through our obedience to His word, walking in His holiness, that we hallow His name amongst the nations of the world. And it's through our disobedience that we blaspheme His name. Well, I hope this message blessed you. I'm glad you joined us this week for this teaching. We will be back next week, so we hope that you will join us again next week. So come back now. And shalom, y'all.